we mentioned, we are starting a new Advent series this morning, and I believe we have a little song to go with that. So, Maestro, turn it up for us.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan.
You can sing it if you wish. This is the original Bing Crosby.
Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree.
Yeah, you gotta like presents under the tree. I do.
Christmas Eve will find me.
Where is that? Well, that's one of them songs, Once Will Do It. That's good. We will be playing that as the Advent goes on using different artists. So if there's an artist you would like to recommend on that, let us know. I'll see if it's appropriate. And Bobby has suggested that I cover the song, so I may do that too, but we'll see. I don't know if there's a Willie Nelson version or not, but we could probably get one of those too, you know. I'll be home for Christmas. All right. You can count on me. All right. As we talk about this beautiful song, by the way, anyone, where's Dave? Is Dave Gleason here today? He's probably not. I think Barbara's at home with him. They're going through some healing on surgery. But here's the thing. I need to know when that particular version was recorded. Now, come on. Get your hand up here. Come on. Or you can just shout it out. What year? Come. 39 is not correct, Dennis, but very good. 44 is not correct. 42 isn't correct. You may have said it. I'm going to give it to you. 43 is when it was recorded, actually. I don't know if anyone said 1943. Bing Crosby scored a top 10 hit with the song, originally written to honor the soldiers overseas who long to be home for Christmas time, and has since gone on to be a Christmas standard. Who here this morning has not heard that song? Raise your hand. Okay, help them. They've been living in a cave. You can tell he looks like a caveman. That's very good. Sung from the point of view of the overseas soldier during World War II, writing a letter to his family, and the message he tells the family, he's going to be coming home and to prepare for a holiday for him, including his request for snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. So the song ends on this melancholy note with him saying, I'll be home for Christmas. Yeah, like in your dreams. I don't think I meant it like that, but that's the way it was. Only in my dreams. And here's the thing. The guy who wrote it, whose name was Gannon, he claimed on one occasion that he was writing lyrics not just for soldiers but for everyone. And when he pitched this song, nobody would pick the song up. They said it was just way too sad. They couldn't play that song. People would cry. They wanted an upbeat song. And so there you go. They wouldn't do it. But he one day plays golf with Bing Crosby, you know, like we all do. Just have a golf day with Bing Crosby. Hey, would you like to hear my song? Well, pitch it to me. You know, and he's in the backstroke. Only. And he says, I'm going to record that. And there it comes. The big hit it is today. It's been done by so many people. But, of course, you know, to me, you know it's going to be hit. Any song that talks about going home, missing home, coming home, those are always hits. You know, even Motley Crue scores hits on songs like that. Because everyone has that thing with them that just wants to come home. You know what I'm talking about. You feel that, you know, I'm coming home or whatever it is that they're singing at. It's always going to do that. And then you supersize that sentimentality when you go ahead and juxtapose it against Christmas time, as it were, because we all feel that Christmas pull that's there, and there's nothing worse than not being home for Christmas. Anyone got one of those stories? I remember being in El Paso eating at the Village Inn or whatever it was, having Christmas dinner with a couple of people from Scotland that I didn't know, and I just thought, this isn't the life for me. So the thing I'm saying is it is just really ratcheted up. This whole thing about being home for Christmas, being there with those that you love. And there's something about Christmas there that's going to continue to touch us this whole Advent season as we're there talking about it. Because when we talk about Advent season, we're talking about waiting, we're talking about expectation, and we're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about the fact that Jesus coming home for Christmas in that sense. point is, he didn't just die for a shopping season or for a great celebration, but that he died for a reason to be home for Christmas in that sense, as it were, with that. And I read this here from John 14, 23 in the NLT, if I can touch you here with this. Hear what I'm reading here. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Now, he and the Father and the Holy Spirit, in the sense that the Holy Spirit is the emanation of the love between those two, coming and making their home in us as we walk with him that point. This is his desire, is to make his home in us. You sit back and go, well, I knew he's going to twist it on me. I'm not twisting it on you. We are going to make our home in you. And I want you to think of your desire to be home for Christmas, your desire to come home, and that is the Father, that is the Son's desire, is to be home, and especially this Christmas as we talk about that. And with all the things that Jesus historically did and historically said, all those great teachings that would stand on their own, that he don't really need you, Frank, and he doesn't need to live and make a home with you and in you. But this is his desire. All the great things he did, all the powerful ministry, all those things, all with this purpose, to live with you and to be with you. That's a powerful thing to me. That the Father says, I want relationship, and I'm sending my Son for that. This is what Jesus says here. He says, I've loved you the way my Father loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commandments, and I made myself at home in his love. You see, my friends, Christmas is Jesus making his home in you. And this becomes powerful because often we think Christmas is solely the birth of Jesus. But that is the beginning of what Jesus has come for. He has come to make his home. And if there is no way this connection, this relational connection going on, unfortunately, job's not done. Born surely, but to come and to have the relationship with you. And often you might say, well, you know, I got no problem. I love Jesus. I think that's awesome. But you know what? Just like the song, sometimes I'm left with a little sadness, if you know what I'm saying. You sit back and go, if it means I've got to keep his commandments in order to have a relationship with him, there's where I'm having the problems. Because one, maybe I don't want to keep his commandments, whatever they may be, whatever I'm thinking they may be at this time. Or two, I just can't keep his commandments. So all I ever feel is guilt, and I don't feel that relational quality with Jesus. And I want to say to you today that he's come with all power to move beyond those as you come and face him and say, I want you to live your life in and on and around me. I want that relationship. That's what I want. I'm hard-headed. I struggle with this, but I want you. Come at me with all you've got. Give me full force. I'm standing in the road. Let the bus run me over. I want to be with you. This is a Christian life. No one finds it easy. No one finds that they can walk fully in these kind of things. You see, that song wasn't even played overseas because England said, the BBC said, we're not putting that song on the radio. It's just too sad a song. And I want to say to you, this song that Jesus is singing, that I want to be home in you this Christmas, is not a sad song. It's a song that speaks of his yearning and desire. And by the way, you might say, it's only in my dreams. But it's not in your dreams. It's in his desires. And I want to remind you this, his plan for your life is better than your dreams for your life. There is no way you lose when you give it all to him. Amen? Well, Merry Christmas with that one. I know I'm a little early because it's November 30th. And if you've been reading Facebook and seen some great posts, there's some great posts out there in Facebook. The Burke's got a new puppy. There's some good things out there that really touch you. And one of them was, is it too early to do Christmas music? And mine was, absolutely not. I'm breathing, aren't I? I like Christmas music. I know, Mark, you don't. But that's okay. We're going to be playing a lot of that stuff. It's there. This is what Jesus says here. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. Live in me and make your home in me just as I do in you. Guys, this is the perfect time at Christmas to speak to your hearts that he wants to come home for Christmas. He wants to be home for Christmas with you. And I want you to see Christmas as that yearning call of the Father and the Son and the Spirit to come and be in your home and in you and all around you. I don't want you to sit back and start having the argument over Santa Claus and shopping sprees. I want you to say, that's going to be there, but I want you. He said this here. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. And if what you want to do by bearing fruit in that sense is be someone who lives the kingdom life, keeping his commandments, the only way you're going to do it is by saying, come make your home with me. You're never going to get the house cleaned up enough for him. He cleans, and he's a good cleaner. He comes, and he transforms us. Let him come home for Christmas. Simple sermon, very small. But it tips off to you what we're going to be talking about in this Advent season. How does he make his home in us? What does he do that allows that fruit to bear in our lives by abiding in us? Well, we're going to look at four ways that he does, and I'm not going to preach them today, Tony, so just sit with me, because they're going to get preached as the weeks go by. Who knows? I might call you up and just throw it at you at any time right now. Okay, not now. All right, there you go. Just see his eyes. All right. First of all, how did he come? And I mean, how does Jesus do this to make home in us this thing work? Well, first of all, Christmas time is all about the incarnation. And I'm not talking about milk. I want you to know that there. Write it down, because I want you to see this. It's all about the incarnation. And by that meaning, Jesus coming to us as we are, appearing to us, living his life here, showing himself in the midst of us, the kingdom life. It's a powerful thing. That's what Christmas is all about. He's coming. You can't have Christmas without the incarnation. Then you wouldn't have a baby in a manger. And right up here, she would be holding an air basket. That's right. But because he was incarnate, you see a baby there. He was God in the beginning, and he came. I'm not going to say much about this, because I want you to understand. Next week, we have a guest speaker who's going to come in and really talk about incarnation. And his name is Philip Strout, and he's our national director. Amen. And he's going to come in, and he's going to be blessing you. And I want to encourage you to be here, the National Director of the Vineyard Movement, to come and speak in our town and in our church is a real blessing to us. I don't want you to miss that. He's going to talk about incarnation and giving this whole Christmas thing. Many have said that's why there's so much depression during Christmas, is because we've lost the point of what Christmas is in the incarnation. That we don't see it as him coming and revealing the kingdom to us. He didn't come and call us to be flitting about spirits that became essentially like him in spirit. He came flesh and showed us how to live this life, this kingdom life in the flesh. And that's powerful stuff right there. I think so, Jedediah. And even though you are married, it doesn't mean that you're in control of the whole world. Jedediah and Lacey just got married here recently. Amen. How's it going so far? Oh, never mind. Let's not talk about that incarnation. Let's go back to incarnation. You know, it's probably necessary to remind you that December 25th probably is not the day that Jesus was born on. Don't get sad. It was celebrated for the most part in the early days, January 6th. But that didn't really match the school schedule, so they've changed it to the 25th. Something like that. So there you go. It doesn't matter. We're celebrating that day, as it were. He probably was not born as we would feel, but that's okay. The main thing is we're celebrating and know what we're doing in this season, what's going on. Now, what does it mean? John 1:14, the Word became flesh. Dylan, you hear that? The Word became flesh. And in that day, way, that meant with the Word wasn't just the Bible stuff. His Word, the Word is the relational context of the Father speaking to us. Words written down are there to remind us of what was spoken. They don't carry the complete context of a relational view. We parse out verbs and we look at them and try to decide things, but that's not relational. Relational would be the Father speaking right to our face and saying, I love you. And you see, Jesus is the Word, becomes flesh, dwelling among us. And so when we go out as a church and we're out here, putting things in cars and handing out candy, or we go down to the Red Brick Tavern and play music. It's because we're becoming that incarnation of Christ to the world in that sense, that we're walking there in the same way that's there. We've seen his glory, John writes, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you dig it? All right, I'm from the 60s. You got to deal with it, Jimmy. That's it. It's the 60s. I'm going to say it one more time because there's not a lot of churches today giving you the opportunity to answer this one. Can you dig it? I dig it. He goes on and says this here. That was from the beginning, which we've heard, 1 John 1. We've seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Meaning, he was not just a ghost. He came in the flesh, guys. He came like you and I did. Suffered the same things. Amen. Well, that's what Phil will be talking about. I hope I didn't steal his thunder. I'm sure I didn't, because he can speak in Spanish too, and if times get tough, he'll swap languages and go at it that way. Be fantastic. Now, the imagination is the second thing that we're going to talk about real quick. And these are quick. But Dennis, even though these are topical points I'm giving quickly, I want them to capture us as we get through the Advent, in the sense that's here. The thing that he does, he captures our imagination, just like Christmas. Christmas time captures our imagination. And Christmas time, by the way, is Jesus making his home in us. We just said that, so you can make that connection. But real quickly, I want you to understand all these things about Christmas. We sit back and we are always dealing with this whole fascination, imagination. You know, you're like going, imagine a man in a big red suit in a sleigh flying with gifts flying all over the world. Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, lights flashing, coming at you. I mean, it's like crazy, you know, Christmas movies here. Teresa records every one of them. I can't watch anything. There's something recording twice. There's Christmas shows out the wazoo on my TV right now. So long with the football. But in this here, the point is that look at Christmas and all this coming at you. There's angels hanging off trees. There's bows. There's ribbons. There's lights. This is the Christmas season, and all of them should speak to us this, our imagination. It cuts into our creativity. As you know, that some of you were just told that during the all-church Christmas party, and you will be there because we're going to have fun. We're going to wear those ugly Christmas sweaters because someone had an imagination, and we're going to honor it. Oh, it was an ugly imagination. You got to have an imagination to think that someone would think those things look good, but that's okay. We're going into that. Now, the first thing when we think of imagination, that's what we think of. It's bad. Imagination, bad. Don't think like that, son. Just work. Don't think of those things. Just work. And we do. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, and I'll read from the King James Version for those who like to hearken back to the days of Shakespeare. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's not carnal, but carnal means of the flesh. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought of obedience to Christ. So this is the way we think of imagination. And if I say, hey, give me a Bible verse of imagination, most people give me that verse because it's bad. Imagination, bad. Quit thinking like that. Quit thinking you're going to be a rock star, Frank, because you're not. But you are. In your mind. So there you go. The point is, we don't think. But I want us to look at imagination from a different way real quick. And this is what Paul writes here. Imagination. Ephesians 1:17. He says, I pray, and I'm going to read from the CSB, the Holcomb. He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. I pray that the perception of your mind might be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints. Now, other variations say, open the eyes of my heart. And we sing that song. Many of you sing that song. Wherever I go, I hear him singing that song. It's kind of like, go tell it on the mountain. So in that thing, he says, open the eyes of my heart. If you look at the Greek word there, Dianoia, I think it is. Dianoia says this here. Speaks of our deepest thought and our imagination. He is asking us to ask him to enlighten our imagination. Because, guys, you can't imagine. Your perception can't gather in what the kingdom of God has for you. And so when we sit back and we receive what we have due to our experiences, we miss out on the kingdom of God because he is saying, let me enliven and enlighten your imagination for the things of the kingdom of God. So this Christmas, as you see those lights flashing, Melissa, and I bet your house is full of them, don't let them put you into a fit. Let them rather call you out and say, I am into the imagination of the things that's there. Come and pull out the creativity. Let me begin to think. Because in those early days, when they were waiting on Jesus Christ, they were not waiting on him particularly, but the Messiah, their ideas of Messiah was the rescue plan, and they had great ideas about what he was going to do. And Jesus has come now, and he's here, and we've seen what he can do. We've seen him at work, but yet we've lost the imagination of what he can do today. And I sat there in New Orleans, and I heard Phil Johnson speaking on this whole thing of imagination. He gave me all his notes because they just filled me. And I'm sitting there. He talked about the imagination, having an imagination of what God can do. And all I could think was, I have no hope that he can rescue all my children and give them a life that is going to be a good life and to take them from difficulties in their life. I'm always fretting over this child or fretting over that child. I mean, I got a lot of childs to fret over. So there you go. And I think it works children, but there you go, in the plural. But you get me? Let our imagination be taken this Christmas. When you start thinking about Santa Claus and all that stuff, say, man, that's cool stuff. But what's really cool is that my Savior can actually do things that beat that back. I don't know he's flying around with a bunch of gifts on his back, but I'll tell you this. The things he can do beat that back tremendously. Let this Christmas season enliven that imagination, even as you know he's come in the flesh, that he's also called to call your imagination. The third thing that we see there here is that Christmas time is the inauguration of the kingdom. It's not just started, obviously, when Jesus dies on the cross. It's not even just started when he begins to do his miracles in the sense. He is God here on earth, God in the body. The kingdom has arrived when this baby is born. And so this Christmas Advent season, notice I'm using eyes here because eyes will be home for Christmas. There he goes. The inauguration of the kingdom. And why is that important? Because we often think of Christmas as a time to tighten up and really put our best face forward to the world. Maybe give some very seeker-sensitive messages that really deal with maybe Mary being a good girl and saying the right things. And I think these are great. Let's not take our foot off the pedal. It says, let the kingdom come. Let's not take our foot off the pedal. Says, I'm praying for the healing of my brothers and my sisters. And here's the thing. Jesus has come to break and beat back Satan so that he might have relationship with us. That's what he's doing. The inauguration of kingdoms come not just so he can have a big fight with Satan and have Carmen sing about it, but so that he, thank you for that inside joke, you Christians. But here it is. He came to beat back Satan so he can have a relationship with you, Dennis, and come home for Christmas. And he wants to have that fight. He wants to beat back the things that Satan has put his claws into you for. He wants to take away the things that destroy our life. And we pray with each other. We lay hands on. Take away that depression. Take away that very thing that is stealing my life. Take away the pain. Come and meet me financially. Show me how this Christmas I can do it without spending money that I don't have and spending the whole year paying it back. Show me how this Christmas to believe that the kingdom can move and I can believe in the miracles that are there. Jesus said this here. Go back and report to John what you've heard and see in Matthew 11:4. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In the sense, these things show, among other things, the kingdom that is there. And I give you the last one, because I'm going quick here today. You like that, don't you? I've been gone for a while, and I know what it's like to sit and listen to other preachers preach. You know, when you go to one eye, it's about 5 minutes, it's over with. Christmas is God's invitation to all mankind. And we'll actually preach this one after Christmas in that sense. And it'll be a time that you want to maybe invite a friend. I know it's the last Sunday of the year, and you may want to stay home. But we're going to talk about that invitation that's there. Because that invitation is what Christmas is about. He's inviting you to come make your home in me, that I might make my home in you. It's his invitation to all mankind, not just you. And I'll remember that, and I've shared this story with this congregation so many times, how he come to me, as I sat in a bar right after Christmas. The Christmas before I came back to the Lord in 1992 was probably the worst Christmas of my life. And I really thought that I wanted to take my life. I had nothing. And I told you that was the Christmas I spent at the Village Inn Cafe or whatever. And I got one of those things that was on a skillet. It wasn't really good. It was a bad Christmas dinner. But worse was I showed up and my parents had left with my sister to go on a cruise to Disneyland because my sister was much younger than us. And it felt like, well, you guys have moved on. Where's Cassie at? She's looking at me very funny there. That's right. And so the point was, I felt like I have no family. I'm not married. I have no one. I have no one. It's Christmas. I have no one. And finally they came back and they said, well, let's celebrate Christmas. And so they called over all of my nephews and nieces and they begin to unwrap gifts. Here was the problem. I had no gifts to give. And I had broken up with my girlfriend because I felt the Lord said, it's time, something new's coming. I didn't have a job going at the time because was in the middle of music and there was nothing going over Christmas time. And I sit there, and I'll never forget my mom saying, let me just buy gifts for you and let the kids open them. And I was so ashamed. And I walked down the road and said, I don't even want to live anymore. Christmas was something I hated. It was something that spoke to me about being a loser in my life. And I want to thank Teresa. She's not in here. She's back with the kids today. She did so much to rescue Christmas for me in that sense. Certainly Susan as well as bringing Advent up and giving me that restructuring of what Christmas was. And it wasn't about what I couldn't do. But it was what Christ did. He said this in Luke 2:14. This is what the angel, glory to God in the highest, angels sing. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. This is his message to you. Peace and goodwill. This is why I've come. Peace, goodwill. Peter would write in 2 Peter 1, he said, so friends, why don't you confirm God's invitation to you? His choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this and you'll have your life on a firm footing. The streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior Jesus Christ. This invitation that says, come and join me in this life. I've seen your life. I've seen your ministry. Now would you try mine? I'm inviting you to let me in. I'm inviting you to just say, come in. I'll take care of whatever's in the house that's not befitting. Invite me in. Let me come into your life fully. Maybe you've said that prayer. Maybe the prayer you've knelt and you've said it 1,000 ways. Maybe you've been baptized 2-3 times. Maybe you came down to just as I am during the 4th verse. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Today he's saying, would you throw the doors open fully? Let nothing hinder me from having the full move, because I'll be home for Christmas this year. And not just in my dreams. And not just in your dreams. All you have to say is, come on in. Come on in. If you're thirsty, he'll give you drink. If you're hungry, he will feed you. These are the promises of Isaiah 55. He says, let me come on in. Let the invitation be there. Would you stand with me? I say, come Holy Spirit in this place.
I invite you to move freely in what is your church, to touch the hearts of your people, to move in their lives in a tremendous way. You may come down if you're on the team. You come on down. Come down for prayer. Come down for team. I don't care. Come on down. I feel like Bob Barker, but come on. Invite his presence to come and move. Peace, goodwill towards man. I speak a blessing over you today. And nothing pulls out stress, depression, loneliness, brokenness more than the holidays, and especially Christmas. He's come to meet you in that place. You don't have to go home with that today. And we're not trying to make something of you. You will never be manipulated in this church. No one here will ever do that. These folks have come down to pray with you if you want them to. They would love that. It would honor them. What are they praying with? The power of the kingdom of God. That's what they're calling on, is God to come and move on you, as you would ask. Don't go away and start your Christmas season off with all those things. Would you come today and say, I want you to make your home in me? If you're here today and you're in that place of complete brokenness and you feel that Jesus would never have anything to do with you, don't walk away today. Even where you are now, say, come on in. Come on in. He's right. He's right. It's time. It's time for me to say, come on in. Make your home in me this Christmas. Now come, Holy Spirit. If you're here today and your life is in disarray, you've went through divorce, you went through brokenness and broken things, you've lost maybe your children, don't walk away thinking that you can't have this Jesus who wants to come home for Christmas. Don't think that. You too. Your addictions, they lie to you and tell you that you have no count to be with God. You don't belong here. Those are lies. They're not the truth. You're in the right place, and we invite you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you've never even made a decision, well, today's that day, man. It's a great day. It's the last day of the month. You can always remember that one. It doesn't matter. Come, Holy Spirit. Physically, your body has testified against you and continually takes you into disruption and anger, and you can't be around anybody. He says, I want to heal you. I want to bring you into the family. I want to be with you. Don't walk away today. Don't walk away without Jesus coming in for Christmas. Now, as I invite you with all these things, come forward. And as I bless, you can still come forward. And we'll stay here and pray with you. I bless you in the name of the Father. Oh, he so loves you. His love is so deep and rich for you that he has sent one like you, one like him, to come and to pursue you. And this Jesus came, his only begotten Son, in the flesh, dwelt among us. And as he was crucified and risen and sits at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit has come in fullness now and is calling you and is penetrating your very heart. And you're thinking for the first time, just maybe, won't you come home for Christmas? Be blessed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless you.